All right, we're rolling, Jeannie.
Rolling on the river.
Keith, how you doing?
All right, how you guys?
Excellent. Glad you could be here today, man.
My pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to talk all about the Musicians Institute today.
That's right. Keith is going to give us the lowdown, the 911, not the 911, the 411. It's 911 for us bad musicians, but anyway. Hey, by the way, for anybody who wanted to know who those players were in the beginning, that was John Reese on rhythm guitar.
You're kidding.
And the incredible Keith Wyatt on lead guitar. You go, boy. Don't you love that? And, of course, I don't know who the chick singer is, but she's left the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, she has. That was Jeannie, everybody.
It was.
Can she sing or what?
Oh, wow.
I tell you what, let's start out the first record today.
Uh-huh.
Let's start out with my favorite, Big Joe Turner and Flip, Flop, and Fly.
Flip, Flop,
Flip,
and
Flop,
Fly.
And Fly. Yes, sir. Atlantic Records' own Joe Turner.
All right.
when I get the blues, I get me a rocking chair.
This is zero level.
When I get the blues, I get me a rocking chair. Well, the blues overtake me, gonna rock right away from here. Now when I get lonesome, I jump on the telephone. When I get lonesome, I jump on the telephone. I call my baby, tell him on my way back home. Now flip, flop, and fly. I don't care if I die. Now flip, flop, and fly. I don't care if I die. Don't ever leave me. Don't ever say goodbye. Give me one more kiss. Hold it a long, long time. Give me one more kiss, hold it a long, long time. Now love me, baby, to the feeling hits my head like wine. Here comes my baby, flashing a new gold tooth. Here comes my baby, flashing a new gold tooth. Well, she's so small, she can mumble in a payphone booth. Now flip, flop and fly. I don't care if I die. Now flip, flop and fly. I don't care if I die. Now don't ever leave me. Don't ever say goodbye.
Joe Turner, flip, flop, and fly.
I got you flip, flop, and fly right here, babe.
Yeah. It's bluepower.com, everybody, and this is the first show live from the Musicians Institute in Hollywood, California.
On McCabe Wyatt, who is the program's director here, so if you guys want to kiss up now, you can contact Keith through our website.
That's
I'm sure
right.
You probably have your own, don't you?
Oh, we're going to be linked very soon, as soon as they send us the linking information.
That's right.
And it's on the way. Trust me. Trust
me on
that
one. The check is in the mail. That's right.
So, Keith, tell us about the Musicians Institute.
Well, the capsule history is MI was started actually as the Guitar Institute of Technology back in 1976 or 77, depending on which piece of paper you read. And it was begun by a guitar player named Howard Roberts. And Howard had been around for a number of years as a studio musician.
He's a dirty guitar player.
He's a dirty, nasty guitar player.
And that's good.
And a hell of a teacher, too.
Yeah.
And what had happened is that he had been doing seminars for years all around the country, and they would rent a hotel banquet room for the weekend, put out the word to all the local guitar players to come on down, and they would spend from Saturday morning till Sunday night learning guitar with Howard. And he would basically walk in with no plan. He would just stand up there in the front with a cigarette and say, "So what do you want to know?"
Kind of like this show, right?
Except we're in a non-smoking facility because we're in California.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
But then 16 hours later, everybody walk out with a stack of stuff, paper that they would... Howard, of course, had a little plan in the back of his head that he would be
his
able
own
to,
sort of syllabus.
Yeah, he would answer any question they would have. And, of course, they all worked out to be the same questions over and over again. Well, it turned out that enough people enjoyed it and wanted more that the idea of a school kind of grew up. And at that time, the only school that really was touching popular music in a way was Berklee College in Boston, which was doing jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 40s, the idea of a jazz school was kind of a travesty. You know, why would you go to a school to learn jazz? Don't you learn that on the street? And those guys aren't musicians anyway. You know, so they went through that whole evolution. And when MI or GIT was conceived back in the 70s, pop music, rock and roll had that same kind of vibe about it. Why would anyone go to a school to play popular music? And Howard didn't really set out to make it a rock school or anything of the type. It was really non-stylistic. But his idea was, if you want to learn to play this stuff, it ain't that hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to know what you're doing. You got to have a system. And it'll take you about a year to figure it out and get it under your fingers well enough that you can start to make use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked pretty well. And then that evolved into the bass school and then the drum school. And,
harpsichord school.
Percussion.
Harpsichord,
I loved
yeah.
Pit.
Yeah. Timpani.
Yeah. Was it P-I-T?
P-I-T, yeah.
You know?
I like that one.
Yeah.
Pit.
Yeah.
I thought that was
yeah.
always
yeah, there
funny.
Was Pit. There was mm-hmm. Pit. Then there was VIT, the Vocal Institute.
Then
was
GIT.
GIT was always in there.
What does the T stand for? Technology?
Technology is correct. Technology. And that was kind of, in a way, it was a kind of Howard's little inside joke. In the sense that he was going to start a music school, but and they call it music, you know, Institute of Technology is such a contradiction in terms. But he had a very subtle sense of humor, and so in a way he was saying you can strip certain elements of music down to a technology.
Yeah,
you know, and once you learn that technology, you can go do with it what you will. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
your blank slate. Just go take it and write something. And however, over the years, a lot of people have kind of taken it to mean, oh, so that's all it is. You know, you say the music is just a bunch of technique. And so it's kind of worked against us.
Well, it can
yeah.
also be argued as well that at yeah. the time that Howard started the school, mm-hmm. when it was GIT, the amount of keyboards, for instance, we had many Moogs, Arp string ensembles at about that time.
Mm-hmm.
And when Oberheim came out with all of these outrageous-looking things, it was starting to get very technical.
Watch your language.
And now, I'm sorry. And now you look at it and you look at recording everybody's home sequencing units, learning how to train in mm. patterns and all of that, which I'm sure you guys teach here as well.
Absolutely.
It is a very technical, very technologically yeah. based industry as yeah. well as the heart and soul of the musician.
That's true. And the one thing that has worked to everyone's advantage is that the technology is starting to feel more musical.
Yeah.
You can now press a note and get a sound on a synthesizer, whereas before you used to have to patch
fiddle with it, or
things.
You had to yeah. change the sine wave.
Yeah, you had to construct the sound mm-hmm. from scratch, and now it's in there, and you can think more intuitively and draw it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and a lot more people can have access to it, because like a lot of these things have little built-in drum machines,
right.
so you hear people at home doing a dooka
dooka dooka dooka dooka
dooka, and it makes everybody a musician, which is a great form of expression.
Yeah, it's like a player piano.
There you go.
Right, yeah.
So how many students do you have?
At the moment, it hovers around 600 average at any given time. It goes a little bit below depending on the time of year and a little bit higher. We start classes in October and March, or October and April, actually. And so October being the traditional start of schools in the States, of course, you get a lot more students at that time.
But, and you have every nationality.
Pretty much. I think if you put pins in a map, you'd find definitely every continent except Antarctica, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had a lot of Asian students. Of course, Japan is a big contributor. But we've had students from mainland China as well as Taiwan, Southeast Asia, India, all over Europe, Eastern Europe, former Soviet Union.
People come here from those countries actually to literally go to this school.
Yes.
Excellent.
Now that is a far cry from just starting a little school up on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, a little guitar school.
Little guitar school, git. Now, is it called MIT?
No, it's actually called Musicians Institute. After we had four or five schools... and actually now we have six, including the Recording Institute. Mm-hmm. We have keyboards, recording, vocals, guitar, bass, and drums. It got a little unwieldy to try to tell people what it was, and so we came up with a single name mm-hmm. that was the umbrella name for all of them combined, mm-hmm. and that was Musicians Institute.
And you also have a school in Tokyo as well, right?
Yeah, actually 5 years ago, the original owner of the school, the guy who started it with Pat Hicks, retired, and sold the school to a gentleman, Mr. Shibuya, who owns ESP Guitars,
yeah.
Schecter Guitars, well-known electric mm-hmm. guitar makers. Mm-hmm. And he also owns a string of schools in Japan called the ESP Music Academy. So he knew about MI.
Patterned after MI?
There was definitely some cross-fertilization yeah. there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he bought MI... at that time, it was to him sort of the coming to the source, you know, mm-hmm. this was the fountain. Mm-hmm. And so he purchased MI and started a string of schools in Japan called MI Japan that
yeah.
are modeled on the same principle.
Or MIDJ.
Midge, if you will. Yes.
I find that appropriate for some reason. I don't know why. Go on.
Well, I just want to thank you for
what
this
is the
first show
of the
here.
A's? Well, yeah, I was going to say the general age group of the people that come here.
Probably the median age is somewhere around 22. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to get students that have been around a little bit, as opposed to fresh out of high school and, mm-hmm. and kind of starry eyed and ready to just get their feet wet. Mm-hmm. The school was started with the premise that if you knew a little bit, you had already become frustrated. Mm-hmm. And if you were frustrated, then you knew what you needed to learn.
Absolutely.
And you were looking for a way out, and that's the prime motivator in getting you to study and,
yeah.
and to apply yourself. So we don't solicit people to come right out of high school and pick up a guitar and walk down the street and come to GIT. You know,
here's where I'm going to learn, right?
Yeah, yeah. It goes a little fast. So
yeah.
you have to be an exceptional person to be able to handle the pace of learning something that has that degree of complication and subtlety in that amount of time,
mm-hmm.
if you're a raw beginner.
And you can go, they can get degrees here, right?
That's correct. Yeah, a few years ago we started a bachelor's program and fully accredited, so you can get a certificate, a vocational certificate, it's called. Actually, we're lumped together in the same category generally as a welding school and a computer technology school.
Mm-hmm.
We're all vocational schools,
mm-hmm.
but we're considered an art school as opposed to the...
They could get a BAM, Bachelor of Arts in Music, right?
Bachelor of Arts in Music.
Well,
exactly,
I think that's
right.
Kind of a good thing, because you always hear of starving artists, but you never hear about starving vocationists.
That's
so,
true.
You know,
true.
That would be an oxymoron. So I think, you know, vocational, and of course you hear about starving college grads, but
that's,
you never hear about starving vocationists. So I'll take that old vocational
yeah.
thing.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to get into a bit of news here. And we want to welcome the Phoenix Blues Society.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Welcome to joining anybody that wants to hook
Big
up
Big Bill
with
Mitchell
them.
At the Phoenix Blues Society
right.
has just sent me an email and said they're all going to be listening and tuning in,
mm-hmm.
for which we're going to give them publicity.
And not only that, but there is a way to contact for people in the Phoenix region.
That's right.
Who, if you live in and around Phoenix, Arizona, you can join today and become a part of their thriving blues community. And there, this is a membership benefit type thing. It includes a subscription to Blue News, which is published periodically throughout the year, and it's filled with lots of information
yeah,
on your local
news,
and
yeah.
national blues, right?
Mm-hmm.
It also has discounts at the PBS concerts and other events, and discounts on PBS merchandise and free classified ads in the Blues News. So if you want to get in touch with the Phoenix Blues Society, there is a hotline. For the PBS Blues Hotline, which is 602-252-0599. And you can also contact them at www.phoenixblues.org.
.org. Ah, that always gets me
okay.
.org. And EDU, I like that.
There you go, EDU.
That's
or
us,
edu.
By the way.
Edu?
Our website is www.mi.edu.
Yeah, I love that. That
edu.
Means educational.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly is.
Mm-hmm. Academia. Mm-hmm.
And you know what's coming up, too? The W.C. Handy Awards are coming up.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole bunch of people. You got a bunch. That list is too darn long to read.
Unbelievable list.
One of our friends, Miss Trudy Lynn, has been nominated. I think, what is it for?
Soul Blues Female Artist of the Year.
Absolutely.
Trudy Lynn.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And we're
going
to get Jeanette. To play cut number two.
To plop play?
To
blah, blah, plop.
Play
to
cut
play
number two.
Trudy Lynn, which is You Don't Know What Time It Is.
You don't know what time it is.
Oh.
Hey, are we on?
Yeah, we're on. Yeah.
Mr. Walter Trout.
No, and that is
what's
really
the name
cool.
of that cut? I have it right here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Playing with a losing hand.
Well, that's always an encouraging sign, especially in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather play with a winning hand. But Mr. Walter Trout will be here on the 10th of February, everybody.
Here at the Musicians Institute.
Here at the live. At
live, the, as opposed to dead. Walter Trout right. is going to be.
At the Musicians
nothing
Institute.
Worse than a dead Trout,
let
I always say.
Let me tell you something. Walter is driving from Huntington Beach on a Thursday
the
afternoon.
The fish is coming from the beach.
And let me tell you something. He's not going to be a happy man on the way home. So maybe I'm going to take him out to dinner.
Yeah, no kidding. That is a nice
he will never
nice
come
trip.
Back because that's the worst drive in the world, the 405 South on a Thursday afternoon.
Mm-hmm, and I'm sure that all of our friends in Canberra, Australia, can relate to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they know the
sure,
405
they,
freeway.
405 is number 7 of the 15 worst freeways in the country.
Listen, speaking of Musicians Institute, of which we are thrilled to be here.
We
and
are.
We are so appreciative of being able to share our talents and facilities of these guys here and our talents there and their talents. And, of course, we don't have any facility to offer you. But we are grateful to be here and in the company of the programs director, Mr. Keith Wyatt.
I think he's called the director of programs, and I made a mistake.
D-O-P.
I think, is that right?
You can call it your mama.
Mm-hmm. He's director of Joe Mama, and I can't wait to inform my mother of that fact.
So, have you turned down any stars?
Well, we've turned out successful musicians. And well, that's what we call stars.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, that's a successful musician is one who can make a living.
That is
at
correct.
Playing music.
Yeah. Someone well, they're either making a living or they're working toward it or they're happy with the creativity that they've developed,
yeah.
You know, and it works on all levels, but we do have a number of graduates that have gone on to commercial success working in popular bands.
Mm-hmm.
Among them, Jennifer Batten, who
Jennifer Batten graduated from
GIT? Did the tour with Michael Jackson, et cetera, et cetera, and currently
I
Jeff Beck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and
she's playing with Jeff Beck?
She just finished a tour with Jeff.
That's excellent.
Yeah. I didn't know that anybody would have the balls to share the same stage as a guitar
player.
That's
a good point.
With Jeff Beck. That guy's a monster. He's
that's
terrific.
Why he picked a woman, I think.
There
you
go. She's weightless. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say a woman doesn't have eggs. They just don't have weibos. Okay.
You're completely insane today, Jeannie, but well,
thank
what's
you very much.
New?
Well, that's right.
Hey, listen, Budweiser sponsoring a Low Country Blues Bash.
Where?
In Charleston, South Carolina. 10 days of the blues.
Are they going to serve beer there?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It could be one of those drive things that Budweiser is saying, take a designated driver home. We're not serving any alcohol.
Let's see. It says, the Budweiser Low Country Blues Bash is Charleston, South Carolina's annual celebration of authentic blues music. Mm-hmm. With 10 days of performances in select clubs, restaurants, hotels, and other venues, the Bash boasts some of the most innovative blues festival programming in North America.
Wow.
Yeah, it's all there, from traditional to postmodern, from underappreciated down-home veterans to provocative up-and-coming talent. You'll find the Budweiser Low Country Blues Bash to be a delight for blues purists and new fans alike. So if you're down there, if you happen to be, I wish I had the date. I think it's February the 7th. It's on the page I didn't print. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Come to bluepower.com, and you'll find it. Click on the headline, and you'll find it.
And they call it so funny, South Carolina, Charleston is considered low country.
That's it,
uh-huh.
low country.
That's pretty cool.
That's where Savannah is a low country, too.
Mm-hmm.
All along the water there, the Atlantic Ocean's the low country.
Low country.
Because of floods when there are hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would make sense, right next to that big old ocean there. Okay, thank you for sharing, John. Well, we've got Keith here. let's talk about the curriculum a little bit.
Let's.
So, first of all, let's say John Q. Public is over going to high school. He's the only guitar player in his school in Iowa. And he's heard about, first of all, how do you hear about the Musicians Institute? Do you put ads in all kinds of magazines?
Yeah, we run ads in all the music, the trades, you might say, guitar magazines, bass magazines, keyboard, recording.
Internationally, do you advertise?
Well, most of the bigger American publications are distributed overseas. It's difficult to advertise truly internationally because then you go country by country and it costs a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we are depending more and more on our website.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, trying to develop that kind of a mass media approach.
Okay, so now John Q. Public has been informed of the Musicians Institute, and now he's thinking, well, I'm the best guitar player in my school, and I know that I'm going to be a star in 2 weeks, and I'm going to, as soon as I get my college degree out of junior college here, I'm heading out west because my parents can't tell me anything anymore. So now they come out here. What are the admissions policies? Do they have to submit a demo? What?
Yeah, depending on the program that a player wants to get into, in most cases they're asked to submit a tape, and the purpose of the tape is not to show that they've already mastered the instrument, which would mean that they really wouldn't need to come to school,
yeah,
of course, but rather show their ability to get something down on tape that's fairly coherent. So we asked them to play a couple of specific things just to show that they've got the basic facility to play. And then we ask them to play something that they like, whatever it may be.
What two songs, like Louie Louie?
It could be the banging out the rhythm part to Louie Louie with passion and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a composition that someone has already recorded on a CD.
How about rap? Suppose they picked up some sampling and decided to make up their own lyrics to that. Would that
qualify?
Believe
it or not, well, we have started, we have two programs that might apply, if not three or four as I think about it. One would be the recording engineer program, because a lot of rap artists, of course, have to be technologically minded just to handle the gear. Another would be our vocal program, if they want to sort of edge more into hip-hop or R&B, a la Lauryn Hill or others of that type.
Mm-hmm.
Another might be the keyboard program, since the keyboard is sort of the basic triggering instrument that people use.
In your vocal department, do you have a vocal teacher that can teach a white person how to rap without sounding like Florence Henderson? I'm not talking about me, per se, but is there any hope for me? I mean, for instance, is there somebody that can teach me how to rap?
Well, now that's a stretch, but...
You stick to gift wrap. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We have our limitations. No, we have some great vocal teachers that have experience in just about every style.
Mm-hmm.
And while we don't offer a class in rap per se, every student gets a private lesson. And so you would seek out the teacher that is the closest to what you're looking for, both in your chemistry and in your style. And then you can have a 1 hour a week private lesson with that person. So if you want to rap, you can rap your heart out with your private teacher.
Now, John Q. Public has decided that he's a guitar player, and he can sing a little bit. He thinks he might want to form a band, but he knows that he can write songs. Do you, when he submits his thing, and it's an original thing, and it's a one-note wonder, and his guitar playing is a little rudimentary, and you say, ah, yes, Johnny here could use a little bit of our help. Well, what kind of classes now are available to John Q. Public, wannabe songwriter?
Well, we're actually just starting a new program, which is exactly geared toward that type of person, because a lot of people don't really envision being a working musician, work for hire, you know, like a guitar player that you would just hand a chart to and say, here, go play this, or I want you to sound like that. They really want to play their own music.
Yeah.
And they only want to be good enough to play what they hear in their head. You know. And I think it was Rod Stewart said one time, he said, I only know four chords, but it was enough to write Maggie May. You know. And so okay, you can't argue with that. I'm
certainly
sorry.
Certainly good enough.
Yeah, so we just started a new program, which is debuting in April, which is called, in broad terms, it's called Artist Development Program. And specifically, we're starting with one segment called the Recording Artist Program. And the calling card that you need to get into that program is a tape of your original material with you performing your stuff. And it can be very simple. The recording quality is not what it's about, because that's what the program is intended to take
care of. So you can technically do it on a Pearl Quarter, but if the song was there...
You could do it in your answering machine at home.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the song, and it's hearing that you've got something that's gelled, that your creative process is working, and you've come to some kind of conclusions about what you sound like and the direction you want to pursue. And then the Recording Artist Program takes that as the starting point, and we are going to teach the students how to survive in a studio in a creative environment. In other words, how does the artist interact with the engineer, for example, so they're not intimidated by being surrounded by that equipment in that sort of sterile environment.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to teach them how to operate digital home recording gear, as well as hard disk recording, as mm-hmm. so many more people are getting into now, as it gets more intuitive,
mm-hmm.
and teach them how to create a promo package and mm-hmm. put up a website.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are they going to get that stuff together and walk out the door with a CD in their hands that sounds as good as it can sound,
mm-hmm.
They're also going to have a way to promote it and market it.
Wow.
So that's the recording artist program.
That's excellent.
Yeah, then we're going to...
Is this a two-year-long program as well?
This, believe it or not, is a six-month program.
Really?
Six months.
It's 6 months. It's very focused. It's intensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to add a performing artist program, which is going to be more visually based. And that starts with the song and creating an image, a video around the song and developing the performance chops and learning how to book a tour and getting the band together and getting out on stage. So with the double whammy of the songs, the CD, the video, and the live act.
And the business.
Then, yeah, you've got some business knowledge, and you can either go the independent route, which becomes more and more feasible these days,
mm-hmm.
or you can use that as your presentation to a label or a backer.
Yeah. That's excellent. Well, that's good. That's a good foundation.
Yeah, it's nothing like, you know, learning your instrument, learning your craft, learning how to pull it all together. Now what?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I've done all of this, and now who do I take it to?
Yeah, you play the hell out of the guitar, and it's like nobody wants to listen. So
nobody wants to know.
So now, one of the things I'm confused about is, let's say they want to study only one instrument. So mm-hmm. is that a two-year program, or is...
It can actually be different lengths without getting too complicated. If you came in at sort of the beginning level, in other words, you played a little bit, you know a little bit, you've taken some lessons, and now you're ready to get serious, the first certificate we offer is a one-year program. Then tacked onto the end of that is a six-month program that takes it to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that six-month program, then you would go more into the creative side of things because you've got your tools together, and mm-hmm. now you're ready to say something. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now people can decide that they want to start with the creative side, hit the wall with their playing, and say, man, I got great ideas. I just can't seem to get them to come out mm-hmm. on my instrument. And they would then go around and enroll in the players program.
Mm-hmm.
So... people have the ability
to
make their own choice.
You can mix and
yeah.
match
yeah.
Things that you need specifically.
Yeah. And if somebody wants a degree, they can get a degree, and they can use that degree as a credential to go get a teaching job or whatever they wish to do with it.
I think one of the things that impresses me the most about this tremendous facility, first of all, I remember the old Git.
Yeah.
And that was a small, little, tiny, little kind of a...
Yeah.
It was almost seedy-looking, you know, up there. It was.
Almost.
Almost seedy-looking. And then, of course, now you move down to this incredible... folks, this is a huge, huge building. You need a GPS just to navigate your way through these hallways.
Yeah, we hand them out at
the door. And you hand them out at the door. And they've got these little sensors that let you know, everybody know where you are, and beepers go off if you go through the wrong doors. I'm just kidding about that part. They only went off when I went into the bathroom. What was that about? But you walk down these halls in this Musicians Institute, and one room you'll be hearing a full band doing something in a performance arena
right.
down there.
Yeah, we have a 500-seat hall.
A 500-seat hall. So they're getting their thing together there. Then you walk down about another 100 feet. You hear a bass player and a guitar player just playing off of each other. And then
up on
I
the next floor, the drummers.
Yeah, and upstairs you have drummers, and
vocalists.
Then you also have the vocalists.
Yeah. Right.
And it's heaven on earth. I imagine it can be a cacophony sometimes.
Yeah, it gets pretty wild, but it's that's the sound of people learning.
And musicians at work or at play, really.
Musicians at work, exactly.
Actually,
super high energy here.
Yeah, you don't say work music. We say I got to go play music.
That's right.
So musicians at play.
And that's the excuse the club owners use for not paying you.
That's
and
right.
You're playing.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of that, do you also offer courses? What things to look out for?
Yes, within the programs, although at the moment we don't have an exclusively music business program per se,
mm-hmm.
in all of the programs there's a music business element,
mm-hmm.
and so we train the students what to look out for. They can, depending on the courses they take, they can learn how to read contracts,
mm-hmm.
dealing with record companies, the structure of a record company. We want to demystify the process
mm-hmm.
so that people are not intimidated if somebody comes at them with a bunch of lingo and tries to snow them into something that they shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach them some sort of common sense caution within the music business, and then hopefully arm them with enough knowledge that they can pursue it on their own if they wish to.
Do you automatically tend to steer them towards Local 47 or?
No, not necessarily. That's always something. I mean, I'm a member. I've been a member for years, and most of the people I know are members. But honestly, most of the work that I do is not union work per se.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone wants to pursue the professional musician route, become a professional studio musician, that's an absolute necessity that, mm-hmm. that the union would be an element.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, very valuable tool.
Yeah, and most original artists join the union after the fact. They get signed, then they join the union because the label is sometimes paying them scale as a way of accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good reason to join.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask, and then I'm going to turn this all over to John, but just asking these questions on behalf of people that might want to ask Keith and not want to pay for the phone call. So the other thing I wanted to ask, suppose somebody really likes Broadway music, mm-hmm. musical, mm-hmm. and they want to learn to perform it, and they also want to learn how to write it. Would they mm-hmm. be better if they're from Poughkeepsie to stay over on the New York side, or does this actually offer this here?
We don't go as far in the Broadway direction as mm-hmm. some other schools would. Mm-hmm. That's what most people call legit,
mm-hmm. legit.
Meaning that you're using the traditional tools of music composition and arranging, and even the vocal style that singers cultivate for Broadway is not a style that we teach per se. We don't have that kind of outlet for people to practice it because we don't put on stage productions like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we often tell people that call up that say that they're deeply into composition or arranging, we suggest that they check out the more legit schools mm-hmm. like Berkeley in Boston. Mm-hmm. USC has mm-hmm. a good music yeah. program, Cal State Northridge, Cal Arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's any number of options because that area has been covered for decades in
traditional music schools. Okay, now what about, let's say somebody says, gee, I wonder how much those guys make for writing Burger King commercials or underscoring for Siemens technologies. Do you teach underscoring? Do you teach or how to approach, let's say, corporate mentality, corporate thinking to write corporate jingles and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you have classes?
Well, we do have classes in songwriting and classes in composition and arranging, but not geared toward that particular aspect of the business.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you were going to categorize the school in general, it's a player school combined with an original musician outlook.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people are learning to play what comes from inside and then being trained to adapt that to what they deal with outside. But at the moment, we don't offer the kind of programs or courses that are taught, for instance, at UCLA Extension
mm-hmm.
that specialize in the real commercial music environment
mm-hmm.
where you're writing how to write a film score, working with a click track,
mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, of, let's say, the 600 students that you get per year, and since the inception of GIT, how many people, obviously this is a great place to meet fellow players and to form a band.
Mm-hmm.
How many bands have been formed here that went on to do other things together?
That's a hard one to say because, as we all know only too well, bands have a life expectancy like a mayfly. So
mm-hmm.
you get the band together,
yeah.
then the bass player quits and
mm-hmm.
the drummer moves back
sleeps
home.
With the bass
bass player always quits. Yeah. Why?
Yeah, because they always have another gig.
That's
yeah.
true.
that's the fact, unfortunately. Unfortunately for us guitar players. But so an intact band that went on intact to get a record deal and achieve success is a very rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
But bits and pieces of bands have mm-hmm. gone on. Just one example, the bass player in the Black Crowes
mm-hmm.
joined that band right out of BIT. And
wow.
then quit.
Excellent. And then
and
quit.
Then quit.
After they had already done a few records, so he did all right with it.
Well, here's somebody who didn't quit. This is Mr. Anson Funderburg and the Rockets with Greg Fingers Taylor, a little bit of Dixie Diner. It sounds like Mr. Joe Louis Walker to me. Then it's to you, Jeannie.
If you know what Joe Louis Walker sounds like, then by golly, it sounds like Joe Louis Walker to me.
Yeah, Joe Louis Walker. Play them where they lay. And Joe Louis Walker and Anson Funderburg and the Rockets have been nominated for the W.C. Handy Awards, I think, as Best Instrumentalist. Let's see here. Well, they lead the W.C. Handy nominees. Anson Funderburg and Joe Louis Walker led all nominees for the 21st Annual W.C. Handy Blues Awards with 4 and 5 nods each. Pretty good plan.
Does a nod count as a vote in their favor?
I would think so,
okay.
Yeah.
I had to clarify that.
And we're back with Keith Wyatt, Director of Programs for the Musicians Institute in Hollywood, where we are now hanging our hat. And, Keith, I want to ask you about the engineer recording programs.
Yes, indeed. It's the Recording Institute of Technology. It's a six-month program, fully accredited. You get a certificate in recording engineering. And pretty much learn all the tricks of the trade for becoming a working engineer, although many of our students consider themselves to be somewhere between a musician and an engineer, and they use the engineering side to learn how to make records for themselves and for their friends, too. So it's a musicians-oriented recording program.
Well, the lady that's working with us today, Jeanette Mishler.
Yep.
Say hi, Jeanette.
Hello.
Excellent. You are actually going to school to learn to be an engineer.
Oh, no. Actually, I teach in the program.
Oh, you teach? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Did you go here, though? I mean, did you learn here or did you learn someplace else?
You know, I actually learned elsewhere.
Where did you learn?
It's one of our competitors, actually, the Los Angeles Recording Workshop.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was way back when the RIT program was very new. They didn't offer classes at night, and I had a job during the day, so I took a course over there, and since then had done a lot of interning in different studios and different situations. And
that's excellent.
Yeah.
How many sessions have you done? I mean, you've done many... Any CDs,
hundreds.
LPs? You don't do LPs anymore.
You know, I've worked mostly with more of the starving musicians around.
I understand.
So I haven't made any of the big commercially successful albums.
But you worked in any of the studios around Hollywood?
I was interning and training in a studio in Calabasas for a while.
What studio is that?
It's called Castle Oaks.
Excellent.
And yeah, I was there. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, and so that was kind of my training. I also actually did some interning for live TV broadcast.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah, so I've done both wherever they needed me. I worked on a couple of Walt Disney sessions with orchestras and. And,
that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it was
big
a lot
orchestras.
Of, oh
I love
boy.
Big orchestras.
It was a lot of fun. One of them was just an animation. And it's just amazing what those musicians can do.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Well, Howard Roberts always said that the hardest reading in the world is cartoons.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
Without doubt. Yeah.
Real short clips of music, like 20 seconds long, and it at these incredible speeds. And the players would learn it, they would take one practice and then
blow it, right?
It was just amazing.
Yeah. Did you do voiceovers as well? Did you do just the music?
No, it was mostly music, and I
didn't
was
do any voiceovers, huh?
Yeah. No, we didn't get that far. Just the music part.
Well, it's fun though, isn't it?
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
I love engineering. Always did.
Oh, it was the best.
Well, thank you, Jeanette. Appreciate it. Taking the time.
Me personally, I don't. But yeah, there are live engineering classes in the recording program because a lot of engineers make their living at that. And
mixers so and stuff.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I love mixing live.
Right. Well, actually, the room that we're in is our AV room on the wall. If you could see it from where you are now, you would see a couple of TV monitors which are linked to our main stage. So we can take a feed off the concert stage and do live recordings.
Oh, we're going to be in there. That's
the security room.
Very funny.
Well, there's a 7-Eleven next door. So.
Well, Keith, you've been playing a long time.
Yeah.
And you play with a group called the Blasters, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Blasters are sort of an L.A. institution, actually from Downey, California.
A lot of people have played with the Blasters, though, right?
Well, a lot of guitar players.
This
is one band where the bass player didn't quit.
How about the drummer?
Drummer, there have been a couple of those, too. Yeah. The band was started in Downey in the late 70s, and Dave Alvin and Phil Alvin, brothers. Phil's a singer, and Dave was a guitar player and songwriter. And John Baz was a bass player who's still with the band, and Bill Bateman was a drummer. And things changed over the years, but they became fairly successful in the early 80s, had a couple of records that did quite well at the same time that X was extremely popular in L.A. So there was Los Lobos, X, the Blasters, were all part of the same circuit, pretty much. And then Dave left to form his own band about 15 years ago, and he's been at it ever since. He's prolific. He puts out a record or two every year and tours constantly. He's a workaholic. And Phil is a guy that you would think, if you know the Blasters, then Phil's voice is the thing that, that it kind of captures.
Did you happen to bring anything with the Blasters?
No, unfortunately, I didn't.
Then let me ask you another question.
I'm caught flat-footed.
Do you write your own stuff?
I have written my own stuff, but I'm not a writer. Like some people are writers. They are... That's what they do every day, and they got songs going in their head all the time. I write when I'm inspired, which means I don't write that often.
And are you a singer as well?
I sing enough to function.
That's a good voice, don't you think, Jeannie?
Certainly your speaking voice.
Yeah, speaking voice.
Well, maybe I should just give up the singing and just talk over the microphone.
You can rap, right?
That's
right.
Yeah.
Work for John Lee.
Well, I tell you what, let's play another cut from Vent Records. Mr. Danny Angel and Bo Gallagher from the album Mind Reader, which I understand is doing very, very well on Vent Records. The title cut, Mind Reader.
You call me Joe. got a double play to that. That really cuts good. I'm a caustic soul. Just bury me in the wood. I'm a caustic soul. Just drag me across the lawn. I cut your wood so easy for you. But you can't help but say I know. Look out there. That really cuts good. You know I'm a cross-cut saw. Just bury me in the wood. I'm a cross-cut saw. Drag me across the lawn. I cut your wood so easy for you. You can't help but say I know. I did this.
All right, Mr. Albert King, that's one of your influences, right, Keith?
Without a doubt.
But that cut surprised you. Why?
Yeah, well, like we were talking about when the track was playing, I've heard Crosscut Saw done by Albert 1,000 times, done as a sort of a Roomba, which is the way he usually does it. Usually does it.
But these are singles, right?
These are the singles. So they did a different version of it, and it's a different take on the same tune.
Mm-hmm. So you just basically judged the book by its cover. You thought that it was the same title and that it was going to be the same production.
Yeah,
you didn't do your homework.
I got to admit.
Came here unprepared, and he is the director of programs.
I got to admit, I'm shallow.
He's
in
a musician.
In certain respects.
He's a musician. You rock.
Well, hopefully we got the right one this time, because I want some funky.
Yes, and we want to hear your influences.
A little Howlin' Wolf is always appropriate with the Red Rooster.
Red Rooster.
As I live and breathe. Wasn't as funky as I thought it was going to be, but...
they're saying, yeah, we want something really funky, so they put Howlin' Wolf on. I realize it's an influence.
That is funky.
And I said, so this is
funky.
That's the natural funk.
See, to me, funky is, you know, do a little dance. Yeah, that's funky.
Make a little love, get down
the
night.
These guys are, you know, these are all blues people here, so I guess funky to them means like outhouse funky.
Where's my chains? Yeah. I need my chains.
This is a great selection.
Well, this is BluePower.com. Mm-hmm. In the Genie.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and we're live from the Musicians Institute in Hollywood, California.
Talking with Keith Hyatt.
That's right. Wyatt. Hyatt.
I was just checking to see if you were
yeah,
straight.
Yeah, right. Sure.
You left. You left my site for 2 seconds. I just want to make sure you got it together. It's Keith Wyatt, as an ERP.
That's right.
You are correct.
Director of Programs. Mm-hmm. And this is our break-in session. Actually, this is our first session here
with Jeanette
at the
as an
right.
engineer.
And we are going to have Jeanette every time.
I believe that is the case.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Having somebody all the time that knows how insane we are is a definite plus.
I know a love gift that we can get for her either. Well, these things already have rollers on it, but I was going to say remote.
I was just, oh,
get
yeah.
Remote.
Right. She was saying remotes, but remote. You know what? You know what happened to us that time when you pushed the battery was dying and it stopped the burner. You know what I thought would be funny while we were here is considering that there's an alphabet, A, B, C, D, B, I, T, bass players, right? Mm-hmm. C, I, T. Think of an instrument. Starts with a C.
For C?
Clarinet.
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 All right.
Okay.
C, D.
D.
Dog phone.
Dither.
A dither.
No, I don't know.
Dobro.
That. Dobro. Dobro.
Right.
Dobro. Okay.
So we have D,
E.
A, B, C, D, E, F.
What about E?
Fiddle Institute.
Fiddle Institute.
Oh, yeah. E, F, G. We have G, H.
G, God Institute.
Harmonium.
Yeah, harmonium. Mm-hmm.
Harmonica
definitely.
Institute.
Yeah.
We could go on and on and on.
K.
But why do this? It's stupid.
Hey, that's right. We're not on a highway trying to pass time. Kids, shut up in the
right.
back.
BluePower.com. Insanity is where you find it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jeannie, it's time to say goodnight.
Well, I think it's about time, but I'm kind of sad to say goodnight. And Keith was a really great guest.
Absolutely. I want to thank Mr. Keith Wyatt for being here and introducing us for our first time here at the Musicians Institute. Sitting and playing guitar was a real, real great time. Thank you so much, Keith.
And I also enjoyed singing to you guys. That
Absolutely.
Was a lot of fun. So
you were marvelous, Jeannie.
Well, thank you. I've been working on that for a while.
Well, let's thank everybody. Let's thank Mr. Michael Toth, who's our Chief Technical Officer up in Menlo Park, California.
And let's thank David Kimmelman.
Absolutely, Chief. And our marketing man.
Marketing guy.
Mr. Paul Rabbit, who is our financial advisor.
And I'd like to thank Jeanette, who's been doing such an exquisite job engineering for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jeanette. And thank you all for listening to BluePower.com. And we'll see you next week.
We look forward to it. Be sure to send us your comments.
Absolutely.
And any kind of requests that you may have at BluePower.com. If you want to contact me personally or John personally, it would be John at BluePower.com or Jeannie at BluePower.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Let's have some emails. What do you say? Huh? Cyber freaks, we love you.
See you soon. Take care. Bye, John.
Bye, Jeannie.